Hi. We're gonna sing a little song to get this started off to kind of break the tension a little bit. You guys should all know it mostly, but if not, we have the words up there. So let's get started.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, good. So I want to start off by saying I'm really excited to get to be here and to talk to you guys. Because I truly believe that it's something that God has been calling me to do for some time now. And I'm finally trusting in him to tell you what he's put on my heart. So, in case song didn't give it away, there's kind of a main message today, and that is that Jesus loves us. God loves us. He loves you, and he loves me. And what an honor that is to have the God that created everything in this world, the entire universe, to have the God that loves us. He created the heavens and the earth. And this God loves us individually. And that doesn't just blow your mind right off the bat. That is just amazing to think about. And this concept, it's taken for granted. You have one supreme creator that created everything. He put so much detail into every single thing on the earth. And he loves us. So think about that today and the rest of this week and the rest of your lives. He loves everyone. He loves me. He loves me personally, and he loves you and you and you. He loves all of us, even broader. He loves the church. He loves Portland. God loves Oregon, and keep going. God loves the USA, and even more. He loves the entire world, all 7 billion of us. That's crazy. And we're called to do the same, though. It's not just God that loves 7 billion people. We're called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that's not just the people living in the house next to you. That's everybody that's not you. That's your neighbor. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how I'm supposed to love 7 billion people when I can't stand my family some days. I mean, it's difficult. Amen. But we're called to. We're supposed to love everyone, whether it's easy or not, and it's not. But I believe that there's a method to this love in the world. God put so much detail into everything on earth. And I'm led to believe that he didn't just finish the earth in 7 days and call it good and just kind of sit back in his recliner and watch TV. There's more to that. He has a purpose. We know that he's watching us. He's up there. And some people, they view God as this angry kid that's sitting on top of an anthill. And he's just waiting for us to mess up so he can squash us and punish us. And even worse, some people, they view God as this, they believe in God. They believe in creationism. They believe that God created all of us. But they don't think that he cares what goes on. They think he's just sitting up there, minding his own business, not doing anything, and that he doesn't have an impact in our lives. And I can't believe that. There's no way I could believe that someone that would do all of this, this entire planet, that he just doesn't care. I don't believe that. I like to think of it this way. I'm sure most of us have tried a maze. You have in a puzzle book, you try to finish the maze, a little pencil or pen, draw through. Usually use a pencil so that when you mess up, you can act like you didn't and erase it. And we all have, there's this path in the maze. It takes us from the start to the finish. And everybody, we try to follow that path as well as we can go, and it takes all these crazy twists and turns here and there, and there's an endless amount of wrong turns that eventually lead to dead ends. You think one path is the right way because it's headed in the direction of the finish line. You're going this way, and it's going perfect. You think, oh, I'm going to get to the finish. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be there. So you follow it, and you keep on getting closer and closer and closer, and then finally, once you've finally committed to this path and you're dead set, what happens? It's a dead end. It never works out. The path that looked so promising this entire time was wrong. the whole time. And the worst part is, it just took one wrong turn to get there. Now, I don't believe that God's just relaxing up in heaven, waiting to see what the outcome of our lives are. I believe that he's actively working in our lives daily, and that he's always there and watching us, and he's guiding us one step at a time. I see him as sitting over us, watching us go through our maze, watching our every turn, and he sees when we're on the right track, and when we also take some detours. Imagine yourself as the maze master in this case. You're sitting above, and you've done this maze a million times, and you could tell me how to do the maze probably without even looking at it, because you know every turn, every little wrong way, and you know everything about this maze. Now, imagine there's somebody that's never done the maze before, and they're trying to do it, and you're standing over their shoulder watching them, and you see them make a wrong turn, and you cringe, because you know that turn, that particular turn that they're taking, that's a tough one. It's going to go for a while before they realize that it's the wrong one. And you just want to stop, and you just want to grab them and tap their shoulder and say, hey, try this way instead, and bring them back to the right path. And then they do it again. It happens again. And you see them take another wrong turn, and you just want to stop and grab them and pull their hand back to the right path and direct them the right way. And it keeps on happening over and over again. And eventually, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to finish the maze because they follow your guidance and they do what you told them to, or they're not. They're going to ignore your warnings. They say, what do you know? I'm doing just fine. I can handle this on my own. And that's what we do to God a lot of the time. And they eventually give up, and they can't seem to stay on the right path. And their life just leads to one dead end after another, and there's no end. So when I see God in our lives, I see him as the maze master, in this case, the person that's done this over and over and over again. And he's standing over us, and he's watching us. And every move we make, he sees it. And he doesn't want to punish us. He sees us take that wrong move, and he wants to grab us and correct us, not to punish us, but to lead us back to where we're supposed to be. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10 say, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I even make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. Did you guys catch that? I'm going to read the last part one more time, because I find this really important. So if you didn't hear it, or you just weren't paying attention, verse 10 says, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Now, I don't know if that means God's right-handed or what, but he's guiding us. He's up there, and he's following us, and he sees us. He's watching our every move, and he cringes every time we make that mistake. We make a wrong choice, and we go down the bad path. We go down this dark path that looks so promising, and we think we're doing the right thing, but eventually it leads to sin. And I know that his heart breaks every time he sees us do this, because he loves us so much that he does not want to see us ever fail. And he wants to reach out his hand and guide us through the maze, through our life. And he leads us right up to the finish line, where we can celebrate with him for all of eternity. God knows all 7 billion mazes on the earth. He watches us fail. He reaches out for us to try to lead us to the way. And we choose to either take his hand or fall captive to sin. Now, there really is no way to describe God's love for us. I can't do it. I don't know if there's any words to actually describe it. I mean, can he really love everyone on earth? Everybody? Can you guys? Am I really supposed to? There's a second verse to our song today that I'm going to have words up. It's not as well known as the first one, but I think it's just as important, so we'll sing that too. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Bible tells me so.
All right. That verse itself kind of brings in the negative. So that woman that cut me off the other day on the freeway when it was raining and almost made me crash, am I really supposed to love her? Because God does. And the guy that broke into my house and stole all my belongings, am I really supposed to love him? Because I think God does. And how about this one? Pretty drastic jump, but the men that crashed airplanes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon on September 11th of 2001. Am I really supposed to love them? Because I think God does. And I'm sure that these men just took a wrong turn at some point in their lives. And I know that God was above them, and he's reaching out for them, and he was saying, no, try this instead. You just want to tap them on the shoulder and point them back to the right path. But they continued to make one wrong turn after another and say, I can handle this by myself. I can do it. And they continued toward yet another dead end. But he loved them up until the very end anyway. And he loves us until the very end, every time. And we will make mistakes in our lives. Sin exists in the world, and because of it, we will sin. That's going to happen. And we may do it intentionally. We may think that our way is the best. Or we may think that it's just another way to get to the finish line and that we're really doing what we're supposed to, but all along we were deceived and it's not. And God is there. He's standing above us and he's guiding us with his hand and he's bringing us back to the path of righteousness because he loves us. Ephesians 2:5, because of his great love for us, or 2:4 and 5, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, and even when we were dead in our transgressions. 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves us, guys. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Life gets hard. It does. Relationships fail. They don't pan out the way you wanted it to. Jobs don't work out, and you get stressed, and you start to worry about how you're going to support yourself and the people around you. School wears on you. It does. You want to just give up, but don't, because God loves you. There's more to life. There's a higher power. None of us know what the future holds for us. There's no way to know. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive what the Lord has in store for those who love him. If we love God, he'll take care of it. So here's my quick testimony to kind of wrap this up. I know it's short, but most of you here know that I play sports, kind of all sports in general, but specifically baseball. I'd played baseball for 15 years, since before I was even in school. And I recently began struggling with God over the idea of letting go of myself and trusting in him. And it had been a process of several years. And I would pray to him, and I would say, okay, I'm ready to give it all up. I'm ready to go. But then I wouldn't. I would be selfish. I was never really ready to fully commit all the way. And finally, last spring, near the end of my baseball season, I had a moment where I finally said to God, okay, I'm really ready to give it all up. And I finished my season and decided that I wasn't going to play baseball anymore. I felt like that was a distraction. It was getting in the way of what I was being called to do. And it was easily one of the hardest decisions I've made in my life so far. My life kind of revolved around baseball. But I had to give it up. But here's the cool part. Here's where God stepped in and kind of intervened and provided. And he said, there's less than a week after I said that I wasn't going to play baseball anymore, not even a week later, I received word about a mission trip to Kenya in Africa, where we got to share our faith and teach a baseball camp, and got to tell kids how to play who didn't know, who'd never even heard of the sport. Over the past years, I've felt called to do some kind of missions work, but I never could because I was playing baseball, and I never had time. And wouldn't you know it, I was afraid to step out of my comfort zone, and when I finally did, God said, hey, we can play baseball and do it. And he provided. And it worked out perfectly. God was up there, and it's like he hit me in the back of the head. and pointed me towards the right path on my maze. He put me back on where I'm supposed to be. And so I went, and I had an incredible time. It was something I will never forget. I got to share my faith with 70 children and adults all the time while playing a game that I've loved my entire life. I did other things when I was there. I stayed in a night in a village with some of the natives. I went on a safari. And those things are things that I will never forget because those were just amazing. But the point of me telling you about this is just to make it clear that you guys can trust in God. He will provide. If you love Him, you know He loves you. And it goes both ways. So just listen for Him to call you and feel His hand guiding you along your path. Youth, guys, I hate to say it, but we're failing as a generation. We're not doing good. Every year, the number of Christians is going down. And I know life is hard, trust me. We're all going through struggles, different struggles for each person. But we don't have to let that weigh us down. We're strong. The church is strong, this whole church. We are strong. We can do this together. But it's only through God's amazing love and mercy that we can move forward and we can persevere. We can do this as a group. We're not alone here. We have each other, and God has us. And there's nothing more you need. So, to wrap this up, we're going to go back to the song, Jesus Loves Me, because we sing this when we're children. We learn it from our parents, from our Sunday school teachers, and then at some age, we stop. Why? There's no reason to stop. Are we too old and too mature to sing about God's love? Because if so, there's not a whole lot else worth singing about. I mean, this is praise. This is worship. So I'm going to ask one more time that we sing just the chorus, Jesus Loves Me, and really just think about it. Think about the message here, because this should be the most amazing concept in your mind, that God loves you so much that He created you and He's watching over you every day. This is like the most innocent of children's songs with one of the most powerful messages. So let's sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible. Sing it again. We can keep singing it. Keep repeating it. Yes, Jesus. Really understand what you're saying, all right? Think about this. Jesus loves you guys individually. It's great. You can acknowledge this concept. Yes, Jesus loves me. This is worship. It's not a children's song. It's for everybody. Good. Perfect. All right. So God, as the worship team comes up, I thank You so much for everything, for loving us. No one can have this unconditional love that You have, where You expect nothing but love in return. And that just, it amazes me every time I think about it. God, that You can love us so much that You never want to see us fail. You want to be with us all the time, every day. So as we continue to worship today and close out this service, just I pray that we can see Your love and we can thank You for everything that You've given us. In Your name we pray. Amen.